So here's my two-part solution. The first part is actually what should happen, and it's a fantasy, but the second half is a much more brutal approach. But here's what I propose.
All right.
The first thing is never going to happen, but the likelihood of it happening is like a rainforest appearing in Antarctica. But what I think should happen...
Well, I don't know. The way things are melting, you never know what's going to happen there either.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, President Bush goes to the UN, and he says, look, he shows humility for the first time in his presidency, and he says, look, we were wrong about the weapons of mass, about the 9/11 connection. We cooked the books to some degree on the intelligence. We were just wrong. But what we need is the United Nations. We need a true coalition involving Islamic troops, as like we had in Bosnia, which is one of the reasons we got in and out of that tinderbox unscathed. Extraordinary, if you think about it. And what we need, here's what we'll do. If you guys come in, if the United Nations, and we have a true coalition, as we did in the Gulf War, we will take the oil revenue from that country, and we'll divide it up absolutely fairly. And the countries that invest their treasury in blood in helping to democratize Iraq will benefit from the oil directly. Also, what we'll do is an incentive for the Iraqi people to help democracy work, and for the true people who want democracy to rout out the insurgents, we will offer them directly, every single man, woman, and child in Iraq, a piece of the oil revenue in that country. Not you know, they get to buy stock in Unocal.
Right, a little profit sharing.
They get to own a piece of their country. And the last thing he has to say is we will pledge 100% that the United States will not occupy Iraq in the future, which is the second most holy place in all of Islam after Saudi Arabia and Jerusalem. Okay? Now, again, if that happened, and if President Bush was as charismatic as we know he can be, and he was truly contrite and went to that body and did that, I think they'd support him, and I think we could actually turn this thing around. But barring that, and I don't believe it's going to happen because I've never seen anyone in this administration ever admit fault, I think what we should do, and this is going to sound radical, but just hear me out, 100% immediate withdrawal of all American troops from Iraq, and here's what's going to happen, okay?
The place will collapse.
But, George, let me...
All right, finish.
There'll be a civil war. There will be a civil war, and there will be a lot of innocent people killed. But I venture to guess that the war won't last anywhere near the length of time of the protracted 10, 12-year insurgency if we stay.
But what do you say, Peter? I keep interrupting you here.
Well, let me just make my final thing, and then, you know. Because what I think is going to happen, George, if we pull out, suddenly they will turn on each other. The bad guys, the evildoers will turn on each other. The Ba'athists will begin attacking the Sunni Zarqawi's people. The Al-Qaeda-related insurgents will begin attacking the former Saddam Hussein loyalists. And what you'll have is they will act like a fever to an infection in the body. They will kill off each other. And the people that held up their thumbs, the purple thumbs, that stuck their, necks on the line and went out to vote, the truly great people of Iraq who want democracy in that country, will rise up as we rose up in this country and other colonially oppressed people rose up and threw off the shackles of oppression. And there will be a settling of that violence by the people of Iraq. Because think about this, George. Remember Vietnam. Again, let's not forget. We would literally blow up Vietnamese bridges and supply trails during the day, and they put them together at night. So for every time we go through Fallujah or one of these cities and we clean out a building, we secure it, 2 days later they're back in the buildings again, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so it's an unending, it's a non-winnable military situation. And what I believe is if we pull out, number one, we take out an enormous we crush one huge political advantage of bin Laden by saying that, the infidels are occupying the Holy Land. I believe that the good people of Iraq,
But then they'll go to Afghanistan. Then they'll blame us for being in Afghanistan. It'll never end.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I believe if we, just as President Bush had his experiment with democracy, attempting to set up a democracy in Iraq, if we pull out, and if the what I'm trying to get at here is if the forces, the evil forces that are now thwarting us, begin to work on each other and cancel each other out, what they'll beg us eventually, the people that begin to stabilize that country will beg the West to come back to help them ultimately with the infrastructure of their country.
Well, now, but here's the truth of all of this, Peter, and you know this to be fact. The oil that you mentioned is there.
Right.
It is not going to be shared with the Iraqi people. It's not going to be shared with anybody else. It's going to be taken and controlled by those big boys who wanted us to go in there for the sole purpose of controlling the oil fields in the north and southern parts of Iraq. And they aren't leaving, and they're not going to split the pot.
Right, you're absolutely right, and I think that is why that's the greatest lesson that the American military families have to start asking themselves. They have to say, are we willing to put up with 10 or 12 years with thousands more American deaths, let alone untold numbers of Iraqi deaths? And for every young Iraqi innocently killed, by the way, you build hate. That there isn't even the kid born today that won't want to knock down that Freedom Tower in Lower Manhattan when they build it because of the hate. I want to, by the way, this is something that shocked me yesterday. I found out from Terry McDermott, who the author of The Perfect Soldier. Did you know that Zia Jara, who piloted Flight 93, he was the Lebanese, the really handsome Lebanese guy who was married. Remember, he was like from a middle class family.
Yeah.
Nobody could understand how that guy. Why would a guy like that, who was married, who went to a wedding 2 weeks earlier, why would he, you know, become a suicide, hijacker, right? Guess what? He grew up as a little boy two blocks away from the refugee camp in Beirut that the Israelis invaded at one point under Sharon, and there was a massacre. This happened in the mid-80s. And this kid could see it from his bedroom window. Men, women, and children were slaughtered in a refugee camp. It was one of the unfortunate memories of Ariel Sharon's military career, okay? And imagine if you, no matter who you are, an Arab or a Jew, if you're a little boy and you see something like that happen to your own people, imagine the kind of hate that it breeds.